The image from late Saturday night from Butler, Pennsylvania, dominates the front pages of the papers this morning. And it's hard to escape as the defining shot of the US presidential election so far. Donald Trump, former president and favoured to be the next one, moments after a bullet grazed his ear, bloodied, fist raised defiantly against the backdrop of the stars and stripes and a blue sky. The current American president, Joe Biden, made a rare address from the Oval Office last night.
Yesterday's shooting at Donald Trump's rally in Pennsylvania calls on all of us to take a step back. Take stock of where we are. How we go forward from here. Thankfully, former Trump is not seriously injured. I spoke with him last night. I'm grateful. He's doing well, and Jill and I keep him and his family in our prayers. We also extend our deepest condolences to the family of the victims who was killed. Corey was a husband, a father, a volunteer firefighter, a hero, sheltering his family from those bullets. We should all hold his family and all those injured in our prayers. Earlier today, I spoke about an ongoing investigation. We do not know the motive of the shooter yet. We don't know his opinions or affiliations. We don't know whether he had help or support, or if he communicated with anyone else. Law enforcement professionals, as I speak, are investigating those questions. Tonight, I want to speak to what we do know. A former president was shot, an American citizen killed, while simply exercising his freedom to support the candidate of his choosing. We cannot, we must not go down this road in America. We've traveled before throughout our history. Violence has never been the answer. Whether it's with members of Congress of both parties being targeted and shot, or a violent mob attacking the Capitol on January 6th, or a brutal attack on the spouse of former Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, or information and intimidation on election officials, or the kidnapping plot against the sitting governor, or an attempted assassination on Donald Trump. There is no place in America for this kind of violence, or for any violence ever. Period. No exceptions. We can't allow this violence to be normalized. You know, the political record in this country has gotten very heated. It's time to cool it down. We all have a responsibility to do that. Yes, we have deeply felt strong disagreements. The stakes in this election are enormously high. I've said it many times that the choice in this election we make in this election is going to shape the future of America and the world for decades to come.
Although reading from an autocue, President Joe Biden appeared to make one gaffe when he referred to the ballot box as the battle box.
We resolve our differences at the battle box. You know, that's how we do it, at the battle box, not with bullets.
Donald Trump is in Milwaukee today for the Republican National Convention. Secret Service spokesperson Audrey Gibson Cicchino said there were no anticipated changes to the security plan there.
So we're confident in the current plan that we have. It is based off of technical assessments, protective intelligence, and we are continuously monitoring information related to the event. So we're confident in the plans that we have, and we're moving forward with those plans.
The man who shot at Donald Trump and killed 50-year-old spectator Corey Comparator was Thomas Crooks. Some former classmates described him as a loner. Others said he was bullied and was often alone in the cafeteria at school. But one former high school classmate, Summer Barkley, told the BBC Crooks was a nice kid.
He was always getting good grades on tests, everything like that. He was very passionate about history. And from what I knew with my friends, they said he was good in government type classes. So anything in government or history, he seemed to know what he was talking about. But it was nothing out of the ordinary. He was a nice kid, and I had never had an experience with him where I was like, he, you know, isn't nice.
Let's speak to Julia Manchester now, national politics correspondent with The Hill in Washington, D.C. Julia, thanks for taking our call again this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good morning.
Tell us more about what Joe Biden had to say last night.
Yeah, so Joe Biden essentially called for, national unity in his speech last night. He talked about, you know, how Americans, even though, you know, may disagree with each other on their views, they're not enemies. It's just a disagreement, and that we need to come together as one country. He's, you know, talked about how he and Donald Trump spoke on Saturday night following that the shooting, and you know, he called for this, you know, end to political violence in this country. He gave a number of examples with you know, referencing Republicans and Democrats who have faced acts of political violence in recent years. So definitely an attempt to bring down or tone down the rhetoric when it comes to political, you know, the violent rhetoric and just the, you know, very intense political rhetoric.
A lot of attention on his performance at the moment, but either way, what he was attempting to do last night was a difficult job. Did he manage it?
I think he did ultimately. Yes, he was very, look, I mean, I thought it was interesting. We had come off the attempted assassination against Donald Trump took place, or, you know, sort of ended this disastrous 2 weeks of a news cycle for Joe Biden, when there was so much attention on his, you know, physical performance, his physical health, et cetera. And, you know, now Joe Biden had this opportunity because of this, once this news cycle ended, to, you know, address the American public. Look, I thought he was very effective. I thought he, you know, the question is, though, do Americans, do lawmakers listen? Because I think this division right now is so baked in so deeply that it's difficult for, you know, Americans to see eye to eye on, you know, some of these issues, and everyone's living in their own silos. And the president talked about that last night. So it's a difficult task.
How is Donald Trump now?
So Donald Trump, you know, appears to be fine now. You know, he's in Milwaukee. He traveled there yesterday. He was in Bedminster, New Jersey yesterday at his golf club. You know, he's called in to, you know, give some interviews and such with, you know, ahead of the Republican National Convention. But, you know, that's where that's, you know, essentially the side we're seeing. I mean, I think when something like that happens, it's obviously very traumatic for anyone. So I would imagine that someone is, or he is likely shaken up to some degree, but it seems like he is, you know, taking a very grateful tone in his rhetoric, grateful yet very commanding at the same time. You know, he seems to be very careful with how he's, you know, choosing his words. I think some Republicans have been quick to, you know, pin this on Democrats or the Biden administration. We haven't seen Donald Trump do that as of yet. You know, it's been a pretty unifying tone he's issued. So it'll be interesting to see if that changes over the past few next days.
What more is known now, Julia, about the man who shot Trump and killed a spectator, and how close he got to Trump with a gun?
Right. So, you know, he was this is someone who was from the greater Pittsburgh area, from a Pittsburgh suburb. And, you know, it was someone they looked into his political background. He was a registered Republican, but he had recently donated $15 to, you know, a progressive organization. Look, you know, hearing about this assassination attempt, the fact that this took place on a rooftop nearby was, I think, a bit shocking to Americans to see that in a post, you know, JFK assassination world. You'll remember that John F. Kennedy was assassinated, you know, some 50, 60 years ago, you know, by someone who was hiding out and on a rooftop. You know, you would think that something like that would be prevented, but this, you know, the shooter was able to essentially crawl up this building and aim from the building into the rally. So it's that's all we know at this moment now, but I'm sure we'll get more information soon.
Donald Trump survived, but one man who did die, Corey Comparator, and some very sad detail about the circumstances of his death.
Yeah, very sad. I mean, he, you know, apparently died, you know, shielding his family from bullets, unfortunately he was hit. I thought it was really interesting. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, a Democrat, delivered a press conference last night in which he talked about, you know, Corey, and, you know, said, you know, mentioned how he was passionate about former President Trump, took his family, how he was, you know, to see him, how he was a girl dad. So, you know, just a very, you know, even though former President Trump got away, you know, was very, very close to, you know, having a much worse outcome. Unfortunately, you know, Corey Compratore was not as lucky and just very tragic.
Julia Manchester, thank you very much for speaking with us.